More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Yesterday on the show, we learned about why Milwaukee is seen by many in the law enforcement community as a hub for sex trafficking crimes, especially those involving children. Organizers of a two-day workshop at Mount Mary University this weekend hope to harness the power of writing to help victims of sexual violence and human trafficking in their efforts to recover from their trauma. It's organized by Professor of English Ann Angel and Justice Professor Rachel Monica Wilcox, who spoke recently with Lake Effect's Bonnie North. Angel talked about the distinction between writing as testimony and writing as healing.
I think writing as healing comes first, and I'm coming from that perspective as someone who taught memoir and discovered that if my students were writing about turning point moments, very often they were re-traumatizing themselves. And I started to do research and shift my focus so that any writing that they were doing about turning point events in their lives could also create healing. And so I'm often dealing at the level where somebody feels victimized. And what I'm trying to do is make them move from victim to survivor. So they write about whatever happened to them or whatever occurred in their lives that is painful, and they figure out where they want to go from here so that they can empower themselves. My students end up going to Rachel afterwards for writing as testimony. I would say that's how we're working it.
It's flowing amazingly well in that manner. Writing as testimony is a little different than writing as healing, but it comes out of writing as healing. There's no point in time at which a writer will say, okay, I'm done healing, and now that part's over and I move on to phase two. But instead what happens is once you feel healing occurring in your own writing and you see it on the page, people really make a transformative shift given the right tools to place their personal experience in the historical context of human suffering, which then leads to this desire and thirst for changing the status quo. And for that, you need writing as testimony. You need a context so that your message speaks to a broad audience of people, whether that be lawmakers or whether that be other victims of the same crime or whether that be other victims of any particular crime, where you can form a community of support empowered to make real change in society through that testimonial voice.
So it sounds like you're starting almost from a therapeutic place with the writing as healing and then moving it into the more public realm. So starting much more private and moving more public. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. I do want to stress that I am not a counselor, and that I think that's really important. For instance, this summer I worked with women down at Sojourner who were domestic violence survivors, and I wanted to make sure that everybody understood I'm a writer, and I use writing from my own personal journey, and I teach people how to use writing for their personal journey, but there was always a counselor on staff and available in case my writers felt like they were reopening wounds that they couldn't deal with.
And so even with that caveat, it does sound like you're starting from maybe a very personal place and then making that personal more public, more political.
Well, and the key is that's a choice, and it belongs to the writer / survivor. The terminology is that your choice. That choice really belongs to them. We find with writing as testimony, we tell people up front, you need to balance that line, carefully balance that journey between you being deeply involved in your own process creatively, which can bring up trauma issues, and you feeling stable enough, comfortable enough, and having that energy inside you to say, I do want to make this choice and have my voice become public in its own way. The beauty of writing as testimony and the way that we train it in these workshops with the Voices and Faces Project from Chicago and the writer R. Clifton Spargo, who created that workshop, is to teach people how to give them skills to convey their message so that it doesn't sound like a detective's case report or a victim's statement, which feels to that victim inherently exploitive. It can be a very negative experience. This changes that experience of, yes, I want to tell my story, quote, tell my story, but it's going to be on my terms, in my words, with this vast canon of art and literature and creativity that supports that message.
Well, and you mentioned that, the word creative, that in both of these cases, this is a creative process.
Very much so.
Yes.
Very much so. I use a lot of poetry when I'm working with the women I work with and when I work with my students. And one of my favorite poems is Mary Oliver's The Summer Day, and her very last lines are, "What are you going to do with this fragile, precious life?" And I don't think I quoted that correctly. But I bring poetry like that in. And when you ask somebody who's afraid to write about what's really, really deep inside their souls, and you tell them, picture this grasshopper as an adult. It's an adult grasshopper with 30 days to survive. What is that grasshopper going to do with its one precious life? And what are you going to do with your one? And it's the wild and precious life. What are you going to do with your one wild, precious life? Right away, they start thinking, well, I don't want to spend my precious life suffering. I want to eat sugar from the palm of your hand the way the grasshopper does. And they start writing from there, and it's very much a creative process. And poetry, I think, releases them to be able to do that.
What is it about writing, as opposed to any other art, do you think, is so powerful and draws out, you know, this kind of response from the people that you both work with in these different workshops?
I actually think that it's the power of language, because language is a loaded tool for most people, and especially for victims who are asked to tell their story over and over again in many settings that can be very awkward, to find words that sound true. This has come up many, many times in our Writing as Testimony workshop. People say to one another, when you said that phrase, people want us to put Band-Aids over an open wound that needs surgery. Perpetrators are responsible, period. Even just writing those words down on paper in a way that's very authentic, it means someone will hear this in the way that I want to say it, in the way that I need to say it. And I really love any creative process can be very healing and very, very powerful. The role of art as witness. And in our workshops, we use writing as witness. Put the words down on the page so that you can start to understand what is. Not what should be, not what can be. You have to start with what is. And from there, there's that immense power to make sure that your story reaches other people where they're at. And again, that notion of community coming out of that, bearing witness together. And this issue is really important, I think, for all of the women and men that Anne and I have worked with. There's no fixing. It's not about fixing. It's never about backing up the historical clock and undoing damage, because we all know that's an artificial response to the grief and the suffering that most of our writers have experienced. But this process of bearing witness through the power of words.
How long have the two of you been doing this, and how did you connect yourselves to make these workshops and programs possible?
Well, both of us are at Mount Mary, and I've been there quite a bit longer than Rachel. The graduate writing program at Mount Mary started, I think it was 2007, and I think the first memoir class that I taught was in 2008. So by 2009, I realized I needed to bring some of the research I was doing in poetry therapy and writing as a way to heal into the memoir classes. And I also realized that from the perspective of social justice leadership, to teach our writers, if they're going out into the community to teach writing themselves, how to write to heal and how to integrate healing in the experience of writing, I would be doing them a much better service than just having them tell their stories. So I incorporated that into what I was doing, but I was also working myself on a book on trafficking, which I'm continuing to work on. And Rachel showed up coming down my hall one day, and she'd been at Mount Mary for a few years by then, and she was bringing Untold Stories to campus and was looking for interdepartmental support, me with the English department, and Rachel is with the Criminal Justice Department. And she discovered I was doing the book on trafficking, and we just collaborated. We both use writing so much in our lives that I think we've formed a really great advocacy group here just between the two of us, and we've expanded it quite a bit.
So, Rachel, did you start out as a writer as you went into justice?
You asked the perfect question, because what I was going to say is I see Anne. Anne is a writer, and she's a creative writer with a justice foundation, a justice soul. And I am chair of Mount Mary's undergrad justice department. I'm an attorney with a writer's soul, because when I faced that choice about, you know, what will my future look like, I had two paths, and one was to pursue an MFA in poetry, and the other was to go to law school. And I chose law school, but then the way that life brings you back to the things, the message that your heart is telling you, this is who I am, this is part of me, and there's a value to putting those two things together. I began to see more and more how the issues that we face in the justice system, which are so complicated, in making policies, you know, mental illness in the law, criminal responsibility, all of those things are better solved, or at least better responded to, when you pay attention to the voice at the center of a person's experience.
So how are students responding to this collaboration? I'm assuming people are somewhat enthusiastic about this in both in both disciplines.
With my students, what I see happening is more and more want to go out into the world and make a difference. Two of my students are now volunteering down at Sojourner to continue the workshops, because I don't have time to do it during the school year. I only do it during the summer. And just knowing that they want to continue that, and they don't even want internships for this. They're doing it because they're committed.
Well, and I couldn't agree more. I've been overwhelmed by the applications that we are receiving that are coming out of Anne's workshop. These women are just on fire. They see there's almost been an identification shift where they said, I couldn't tell my story. I wanted to tell my story. And now they say, I see how my story is necessary for someone else to hear. And that's huge for me. I can see that right away. For me, one of the most exciting responses from the community has been from the legal community. When I have community prosecutors and district attorneys asking me for the work of our writers that came out of last year's workshop so that they can turn around and present it at annual Victims of Crime Week, that to me is just the most positive expression I could consider. It's for the writer themselves, but also to show the adaptability and the compassion that exists in those who try to serve on the other side of the legal system. It just, to me, is we're in this era of collaboration and holistic thinking. This is an example of how that can work extremely well. And there's always new doors opening. Anne and I can hardly keep up.
Well, I'm glad you had a little bit of time to come in and talk with me today about it, because it sounds like both project, you know, it's not even fair to say the projects, because it's like all of this different stuff kind of melding into each other and creating something really new and exciting. And I want to thank you both for coming in and telling us a little bit about it.
It was a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. Thank you so much, Bunny.
Mount Mary University Justice Professor Rachel Monica Wilcox and English Professor Anne Angel are organizers of this weekend's Untold Stories workshop, in which they'll work with victims of sexual violence and human trafficking. They spoke with Bonnie North. A Milwaukee supergroup scores a Ukrainian silent film from 1930 as part of the Milwaukee Film Festival. We'll get a preview when we return with Lake Effect from WUWM.